It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again.
Again.
It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied.
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone! Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 137. If you're listening on drop date, it's September 27th. This is the official podcast of, oh my God, this is the last series preview of the season for 180 whatever days. We will not have another series preview for you until opening day 2025, which, what is it, against like the Rangers or something? I know it's in March, but... This is also known, this is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI, if I could freaking talk. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, wherever. Subscribe. Do it on multiple platforms. On YouTube, on the WEEI channel, we got a Play Tessie playlist there. All the episodes are there, and you can watch those and hit the thumbs up on the videos, which we really appreciate, and it helps us out a ton. You can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy, here with Joe, who is in for Pat. If you listened to our last episode, his Wi-Fi went out and he is still struggling with that even now. So we've got Joe in for Pat today, and we're just going to jump right in to this series preview. We're doing that, guys?
Why jump not? Right.
Yeah. What else is there to preview?
Oh, God. I was going to make a sassy joke. I'm not going to do it. All right. You ready for this? It's a battle for third place. The Red Sox versus the Rays. Two basically 500 teams. As of when I put this together, the pitchers were not yet announced. I'm going to double check that that's still the case before I confirm that they're not announced. No, they are announced now. And two of the three are announced. For the Sox. The Rays have announced everybody, and it's what I thought. So game one, Cutter Crawford versus Taj Bradley, with Bradley from June 8th to July 25th in 9 starts. He had an 0.82 ERA and struck out 65 batters in 55 innings. He was freaking crazy. But since then, he has a 7.28 ERA in 10 starts, 50 strikeouts in 50 and two-thirds innings. So a perfect example of a young guy with a ridiculous arm who... is going to be a problem for years to come for the Sox, that's for sure. But maybe burned out a little bit. He's, I believe, just 23 years old. So bright days ahead for Taj Bradley. Game two is Nick Pivetta's potentially final start as a member of the Red Sox. We have not talked much about Nick Pivetta because I think most people assume that he is gone in the offseason. So if you're assuming that too, this would be Nick Pivetta's final start as a member of the Red Sox, and he'll be taking on Shane Baz, who's another young guy with just who just oozes potential. He faced the Red Sox. You saw him about a week ago. 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. So yeah, that's a guy who I've been high on for years, and just he's going to be a problem. Game three, Tanner Houck is not yet announced for the Red Sox. So it could potentially be Tanner Houck. If it's not Houck, who knows? But that's the one pitcher in the series that hasn't been announced yet, and he takes on Ryan Pepiot.
Priester a start. I want to see Priester one time.
You're right. If it's not Houck, that's probably who it would be, Sammy. So that's
No.
I wouldn't hate it. Yeah, I'd give him a go. I don't mind either way. Let Tanner Houck build up the innings if he wants to do it. I know he cares a lot about it as long as he's healthy. But if not, Quinn Priester would be cool to see on the final day of the season. But either way, taking on Ryan Pepiot, he has been announced. Another guy who could be a problem for years to come. You saw him dominate the Red Sox his last time out. 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, and 12 strikeouts in those 6 innings. And that included an immaculate inning. So we just saw that a week ago. Damn, man, screw the hitters. They don't have many hitters. You know the drill. You know. We got to get into these.
Who's our guy that we can't?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we do have to do our pre-race series, Johnny DeLuca slander.
Yep. Never done anything wrong, but he will. And we're pre-hating him.
What if he goes this whole season and he doesn't do anything?
You know, I was thinking about that, Joe.
Can we just move the goalpost to 25?
The issue is he might just be saving it for like the playoffs or like for like a series that really, really, really matters for the Sox, where like we haven't really had that against the Rays yet. So maybe he's saving it for when it's really going to kill us.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think he's playing possum right now. We know Johnny DeLuca.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. You think we're stupid, Johnny? You're playing possum, bud. We're ready.
Like if he hits 4 homers in this series, it can't hurt us. Like,
no,
we're not.
Don't care.
We're not.
You friggin' Johnny Dickhead. You can hit 4 home runs. It's not gonna bother me. Oh, God, I can't believe.
You know what? I just thought of an idea. For Crystal Bomb this week. So if you were listening to our last series prediction, and we're gonna have to get Pat on the text if we're gonna do this. But for our last one, we picked each other's Crystal Bombs, and we basically all picked like Pat gave me Mickey Gasper, I gave Sammy Emmanuel Valdez. Like we were picking. What if we did a reverse one? We pick Rays players we think will go deep.
Nah.
You don't want to pick Johnny DeLuca?
I don't want to pick a Rays guy. None of us got Crystal Bomb points, so you don't have to go over that, Joe. There you go. It's for a few minutes from now.
Yeah. Well, let me then go over the series then.
Yeah, do the series because that still matters.
Yeah, it does still matter because after last series, Pat, which sucks that he's not here, he's closed the gap on Sammy and has got this thing down to the wire. He's now only down 1 because he correctly predicted 2 out of 3. So he's trailing Sammy by 1, 16-15. And Gordo, my correct pick of losing 2 out of 3, now has us tied for the basement again. So
wait, hold on a second. Red Sox won 2 out of 3.
Did they not lose? I thought they lost 2 out of 3.
No, they won 2 out of 3 in this series, Joe.
Oh.
So is it over?
Well, I got to go back to the tabs because I added them up. Okay, if they won at 2 out of 3, then it's over.
Yeah. I picked 2 out of 3, right?
Yeah, Sammy correctly predicted 2 out of 3 wins.
All right, good.
That's same with Gordo. So
I was gonna say I was thinking in my head. I was like, I thought I picked 2 out of 3. I guess not.
Well, the loss on Sunday or on Wednesday feels like more like they lost the series. So
yeah, it's ridiculous that they won that series because like we basically had like a eulogy podcast and it was after a series win.
Yeah. So standings are gonna be where they are. Sammy will win. Pat will finish second. Gordo third, me and last.
How many behind Pat am I right now?
2.
Ugh, I can't catch him. All right.
I want to go for the triple crown, though. I want to go for the triple crown. Like, my prediction, to me at least, still matters because I've won Crystal Bomb and I've locked up the series predictions for the year. And if the Red Sox win 2 out of 3, that means I will have correctly predicted exactly the record that they were going to have before the season even started. So, picking 2 out of 3, I think they win. I think they lose the first game and win the last two. Let's end on a two-game winning streak and so that we can feel great going into the offseason. And you know I feel great going into the offseason if you listen to our last episode. So, oh, not being facetious at all, I swear. So, yeah, I'm picking Red Sox. Lose, win, win, end on a high note.
You know what's funny, Sammy, is I'm actually picking the same format, but for – or actually, no, I'm going to reverse it. I'm kind of on the same lines of I think Nick Pivetta loses his last start as a Sox. I think they lose the Friday game. But you know what? I want them to win Sunday so that not only can they eliminate and get back the myth of the Sunday Sox, but I want them to send Castig out on a high note. Like, come on. Yes. You couldn't win when you sent Orsillo out. Like, do it for Castig.
Agreed.
So what's your final number, Joe? Is it, did you say two wins or one win?
I said two losses. So Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. Pat sent his picks in. He said he thinks they're going to lose two out of three, loss, win, loss. I'm going to match Sammy's pick exactly. I think they win two out of three, and I think they go loss, win, win. I think they get dominated by Taj Bradley. The strikeout pitchers usually get him. And I feel good about Nick Pivetta pitching in his. I feel like Nick Pivetta, when he like feels like a start is important to him, he elevates his game. Last year, I know his final start was really good, though I think it might have been against the White Sox. So that's just how I'm remembering it. But I hopefully I don't know why I'm picking the third game. I'm just doing it. Sox two out of three. I'll go with that. So I guess it's weird with Pat not here. It's time for fucking Crystal Bomb.
Crystal Bomb.
I'll bet.
Ugh.
I mean, it's been a whimper since this, Sammy this locked sucks. It up.
I hate that he locked. I was in the lead for so much of the year.
Yeah. You were. Well, anyway. You were. We all picked each other's. Danny Jansen and Manuel Valdez, Mickey Gasper, Connor Wong. All of I don't even think they even had a home run in the series.
Casas.
Ooh.
Oh, Casas did have a home run. Yes, you're right. You're right. But yeah, anyway, nobody got a point and wait, standings.
When did Casas homer?
Wait, no. I don't think he did actually. I'm thinking of, no, nobody.
Yeah. Holy, I was
did
right.
They not hit a single home run this series?
Not that I remember.
They scored four individual runs in the first game. I'm going to go back and double check. Yeah, no one homered in the first game.
No one homered in the third game.
And in the second game.
None in the second.
Yeah, no one homered.
So home runs.
We could have picked anyone on the team, but we picked freaking Mickey Gasper, who has been there, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, but again, scores stay the same. Everyone's where they are. Sammy in first, Gordo second, Pat third, me last.
All right. Who did Pat pick for? Did Pat send in a Crystal Bomb pick?
He went Thick Willie.
He went Thick Willie.
Yeah.
All right. I don't even know. I'm sure I'm allowed to do it at this point. I'm just going to go with Tristan Casas. I think he has the most to prove in meaningless games out of anyone on this team. I think he's going to go bridge.
I think. Man, I don't care. Just don't fucking care who's gonna hit home run. I'll go Connor Wong because I picked him for Pat, I think. And
no,
I
feel you picked like him for me.
Picked him for you. I thought that was a little disrespectful after the fact. I was like, man, I shouldn't disrespect Connor Wong like that. So I'm gonna pick him for my last Crystal Bomb of the season. I wanted to save it for Devers, but not playing. So I'll go Connor Wong. I think it's going to be a monster home run. He loves those. He pulls them over there. So, yeah, Connor Wong, do it.
Well, if I could pick none, I probably would. But I am, you know what? This since I joined, I've made a lot of like ridiculous, crazy, wild predictions for Crystal Bomb. And I think only the Romy one I got right. So I'm going to try and make this because, you know, I'm already in last, so why not go like extra crazy? Let's call for
Gasper.
Nah,
he hasn't even gotten his first hit yet. Come on.
You know what? Why not? Mickey Gasper.
Let's go, Joe. He's
Gasper.
The thing is, Cora's going to make sure everyone gets in that final game, so he's going to have a chance to do it.
Yeah, why not? It's the last series of the year. Let everyone go nuts. Mickey Gasper.
I love it. Joe, if you get this one right, if Joe gets this right, he gets a 3-home-run head start next year's Crystal Bomb. Like, only if it's his first hit, though. Only if
it's his first hit. Regardless, since I joined late.
Next year you won't have to.
Yeah, make up for the lost time, though.
Next year, if Mickey Gasper's first hit is a home run, Joe will start the season with a 3-0 Crystal Bomb lead.
Love it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, Sammy, where does that take us?
Make it a good one, Sammy. It's the last one.
It's time to win. It's Guys Being Dudes, your favorite segment. Woo!
Chiaw.
All right. Yeah. This is tough for a few reasons. One, because the Red Sox have played Tampa Bay quite a bit this season. Of course, divisional opponent. And two, because the Rays haven't been around for that long. So you got to get a little bit creative to make these picks fun. Joe, would you like to lead us off?
I would actually like to defer to someone else since
Joe got short prep time. That was unfair of me. Gordo, you go. You had full prep time.
Yes. All right. So we were at Fenway on Saturday, and the game got rained out. So after that game got rained out, I went to Tasty Burger with my dad, and they were playing, because of like the rain out, instead of the game, they were playing the game where David Ortiz set the Red Sox single season home run record back in 2006. It was a Red Sox Twins game. And one guy who I saw playing for the Sox in that game in 2006 was Carlos Pena. And it pissed me off. Not seeing him there in a Red Sox uniform, but the Carlos Pena Red Sox era pissed me off at the time. Because he had one home run in 18 games with the Red Sox. He had a 776 OPS with the Red Sox in his brief time there. Goes to the Rays. And the very next year, hits 46 homers and has a 1037 OPS. The very next season. And that always pissed me off. Fun fact about Carlos Pena before I let Joe go, I'll give him some ample time to find someone. You know the Carlos Pena trade that they romanticize in Moneyball?
Yes. Yes.
Where Brad Pitt just kind of like willy-nilly just like throws him to the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
That trade, it was actually a three-way trade. It was involving the Tigers, of course, because that's where Pena went, but it was also involving the Yankees. And this deal involved Ted Lilly, Jeff Weaver, and Jeremy Bonderman, all involved in the trade that sent Carlos Pena from Oakland to Detroit, where he played before ending up on the Red Sox for 18 games before he decided to break the literal fuck out with the Rays in 2007. Seven, 40, right?
40, 46 home runs, right?
Yeah, 46 bombs.
Ooh, look at that. Shoo!
1037 OPS.
1037 OPS, really?
Yeah.
Holy moly, that's impressive. Wait, I would have said like 850 because I thought he struck out a lot, but wow, 1037.
Well, that's what he did the next several years. He would hit like 30-something homers and, yeah, like mid-800s OPS. But that one year, that first year, holy shit.
Yo, I kind of feel bad for him because he's really been trying to make that placata home run now.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't catch on. It's not caught on. I feel bad. He's still going. He's like, he hit a placata. And his co-hosts are like, yep, my placenta. Very cool.
It feels forced to me. Like, and people disagree with me on this one, but I also feel like the Matt Vasgersian Santa Maria one is really forced.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best catchphrases are when they're natural. You know what I mean? Like when Mike Breen goes bang, like everyone says bang.
Yeah.
Natural and also short. Short and concise. Bang.
Yeah.
Simple. Boom.
Yeah. I would even throw Castig's Can You Believe It?
Yeah. Okay. Can You Believe It?
That's natural.
Quick little phrase. Or
also rare.
John Miller on the Giants goes, adios, pelota. That's sick. I like that. Like that's cool.
Even Michael Kay's See ya,
another one.
Yep. It's very simple, but it's like it's his thing, and it's I don't know, it's just his thing. It's good.
Yeah. Placata is like so many syllables for one word. Placata. It's just a lot of work for your mouth to do, and I just don't think people have the time.
And you just like wouldn't, and like obviously I don't want this to turn into like a shit on Carlos Peña fest, but like it's like it just doesn't. Yeah, we do like him. We saw him at Fenway Park that one time, although we didn't talk to him. We did see him.
We have local ties here. Like he went to Northeastern. Yeah. He's kind of a local guy, close enough. We love Carlos Peña. We just feel bad about the placata thing not catching on. We would advise him to move on.
It's just not what you would say. Like if you watch a home run go, never in my life have I thought placata, but I have thought like see ya. Like
it sounds like placenta. Like, let's address the elephant in the room. It sounds like placenta. I think of it every time he says, I'm watching baseball, and he's just like, placenta. I'm like, God, it's so graphic.
No, I never thought of that. I never thought of that until you just said it, but now I'm never going to not think of it.
Well, let me give you mine then so we can diverge.
What? Oh, I thought your guy being dude was going to relate to placenta. You're like, oh,
no, I was about to be like, is it Johnny Placenta?
Oh, you're getting us out of here. He's getting us off.
I'm getting Johnny DeLuca's cousin, Johnny Placenta.
Yeah.
Can we name this episode Johnny Placenta?
All right.
Okay. Johnny P. Anyway, my guy, which I did really quickly, kind of a journeyman, but I did like when the Sox acquired him when they did. Tommy Pham. He's a name that always gets thrown out, or at least maybe for the last two or three years, if we're talking like these low budget trades or anything like that. I personally was happy to see him in the second half of the 22 season. I thought he played pretty well. For a Sox team that wasn't going anywhere. Got the numbers right in front of me at that 22 year. 53 games, 235 plate appearances, 214 at bats. 50 hits, 12 doubles, 6 home runs, 24 RBI. So a nice serviceable guy for that 22 campaign. And plus, the only reason we know about him was because he punched a guy over a fantasy football dispute. But started with St. Louis, got traded to Tampa, spent a couple years there, and then he's just bounced around everywhere, including the Sox. So Tommy Pham, we salute you.
Trivia question for you guys on Tommy Pham. Can you name the Red Sox minor leaguer that they traded for him one for one?
They got him from
the Reds.
The Reds.
To my knowledge, he has not been a major leaguer, but I'll double check that for you.
Oh, I was gonna. It wasn't. I was gonna suggest Michael Chavis, but
what position?
Not a major.
It's not.
He's not a major leaguer. He is a first baseman.
Oh, why can't I remember this? I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah, who was it?
Nick Northcutt.
Oh, right. Oh, he was an infielder, like shortstop and second. That's not a good sign that they moved him to first.
This thing says first and third. I thought he was a big. No, you're remembering wrong. I think he's like a big. home. He's a home run guy.
Who am I thinking of?
He hit in the year they traded him. He hit 30 bombs.
Yeah, no, this is not who I'm thinking of at all.
His stat line this year in Double A, he hit 192, but he hit 26 home runs. So like
super senior, he's 25. He's not going to make it. That sucks.
No.
So yeah, he's the Double A's Joey Gallo.
Oh, yeah. you know who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the guy they traded to the Phillies in kind of a nothing deal, or he got like claimed by the Phillies.
Oh God. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like Dombrowski, it was like Dombrowski's like second round pick and they just like claimed him. I forget who that was. CJ Chatham.
Yes. That's who I was thinking of. Not Nick Rook. I knew it was a same letter to start both names. That's what I got confused with. Nick Northcutt, CJ Chatham. CC and N. Sorry, my brain.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
I've got a weird brain.
I was like, C and N are not the same letter. I was trying to figure out where you're going with that.
CC and N. Yeah, I knew it was something like that.
All right, Sam, who's your guy?
Well, can I just share Pat's? Because he submitted one as well. Christian Arroyo.
All right.
Yeah. Just in case that's not Sammy's. But we know how obscure Sammy likes to go. So
yeah, but Sammy can't pick someone from the freaking 1910s.
Yeah, yeah. I like doing the weird name guys from the early 1900s who like had terrible numbers that would never be in the league nowadays, but their names were like Pippin Wiener Toes or something. All right. Let me see if you guys can guess who this is, because this guy was for a while the definition of effectively wild. Listen to these rookie season numbers. This guy made the All-Star team, finished second in Rookie of the Year voting. By the way, 1998 for the Devil Rays at the time. 202 innings pitched, 133 ERA plus, 152 Ks, walked a lot of guys, hit a lot of guys, but he was effective, 3.56 ERA. FIP was 4.23, but still. Good season. You guys know who I'm talking about. This guy was a big deal for a while.
Who was that guy?
Starting
1998.
Pitcher.
Oh, was it? I feel like Joe Saunders.
Nope. You're not early enough.
My God. Damn, I don't know. I got nothing.
Okay. Rolando Araujo. You guys remember him at all?
I cut out. What did you say?
Rolando Araujo. He was a beast in the late 90s for the Devil Rays. Like nasty, nasty. He debuted late. Like he was a rookie at age 32. So people were kind of like, who the hell is this guy? We don't care about this guy. But nasty, and he logged a ton of innings, but after his rookie season started to kind of fall off a cliff fast. 5.18 ERA the following season in 1999, and then a 5.63 ERA in 2000. But the Red Sox got him that year at the deadline, I believe, from Colorado. But he put up a 5.05 for the Red Sox that year. But then 2001, he kind of bounced back. He actually looked like he was going to be a guy for the Sox. 41 games. 3.48 ERA. Again, the FIP was a little bit higher at 3.91, but you know, not a bad pitcher at all. 129 ERA plus, so he was good that year. 2002, now he's 36 years old. Kind of, you know, how much time does this guy have left? The answer, not much. 29 games, basically a 5 ERA at 4.98, only 81 innings, and his ERA plus went down by 37 points to a unimpressive 92, and that was the end for Rolando Araujo, one of the weirdest careers that you'll find, debuting age 32, almost winning Rookie of the Year as a super senior, looking nasty, falling off a cliff, bouncing back, and then falling off that exact same cliff. He was a guy on the team, nothing special. I think he also wore three different jersey numbers, 19, 46, 44. This guy's just weird. Weird dude. His name reminds me of Bronson Arroyo, Rolando Araujo, Bronson Arroyo.
That's so, I had his baseball card as a kid, and I like. Did you guys like when you were young ever just like have baseball cards? Like you didn't know that much about the game yet, so you didn't know all the players, and like you'd put cards down and then you'd look at them later and like be like, okay, maybe I'll have heard of this guy now. Does that make any sense at all?
I've done that plenty of times because I remember. It might have been my brother or my parents being like, you should make collecting baseball cards a hobby, and I would just have them just to like, they would legit get a binder for me, and I would just place them in the certain spot. And if I recognize the name, cool. If not, I'm just like, eh, whatever. But like, they all made the collection.
I kept thinking that he was going to be Bronson Arroyo, and then there was Pedro Astacio that I kept at some like thinking was going to become like Pedro Martinez. Like literally, I thought the card. Like, I don't know what I thought, that the card would just turn into a Pedro Martinez card or something.
You thought
like,
all good pitchers were named Pedro?
Yes. If your last name was Ortiz, there was this pitcher, Russ Ortiz and Ramon Ortiz.
They're brothers. Like,
were they actually?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I was like, oh, these guys must be freaking great because they're named Ortiz.
Wasn't Russ Ortiz actually nasty though for a while?
I think he was. I think Russ Ortiz actually was good.
He played for the, yeah. Yeah, for the Giants. I'm looking now. Yeah, he was good. All-star Braves, too. He was good.
That's where I remember him, because MVP 05, he was on the Braves.
Here's an interesting thing about Rolando Araujo. Traded by the Colorado Rockies along with Rich Kroshaw, Mike Lansing, to the Red Sox in exchange for Brian Rose, John Wasden, and Jeff Fry, who, if you're active on baseball Twitter, he has quite the following, because this guy is the ultimate boomer, hates everything about the league, thinks all the players suck nowadays, think the sport is ruined. And I tweeted something, I can't even remember what it was. It was something so stupid about how the game sucks nowadays, but I thought it was obvious I was being sarcastic. But he liked the tweet and followed me, so he thinks that I agree with him now. I think he's kind of crazy, but funny if you're into baseball Twitter, you're probably laughing right now because Jeff Fry is the king boomer right now. So anyway, Rolando Araujo, guy's being
good guy, man.
He's a dude.
Shall we do some Nuff Said? Joe, you want to go first?
I would love to go first, because I can't believe we're sitting here and we still haven't talked about maybe the biggest Sox story over the past couple of days that we haven't even discussed. They're getting rid of the blue jerseys. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's so stupid that Nike has to have this rule that you need to have like 5 jerseys or whatever. So essentially, Cotillo was the first one to break it, but the blues are gone. The navy blues, the yellow City Connects are now going to become a staple. And they're going to create a new City Connect, a 2.0. And rumors are saying it might be the green jerseys. But let's just be honest. Getting rid of the navy blues is a big, big mistake. I mean, they won a championship in those. I was sitting in the studio with Cooper Borman during the Sox earlier this week. And he kept telling me, like, the image of Chris Sale getting Manny Machado to look absolutely foolish on that swing, you remember him in the navy blues. Like, that's sad that they're going to retire those jerseys.
I think the navy blues are all right. I'm kind of indifferent on those going away. I prefer the road grays to the navy blues, but I did like when they mixed them in once in a while, and I'm forever going to kind of link them with that 2018 team. The real thing, you guys know what I really don't like. I hate the yellow uniforms. Like, I could not possibly dislike a uniform more than I dislike the Red Sox, yellow Sox uniforms. I love what they stand for, Boston Marathon. I think that's great. But those are the absolute ugliest things I've ever seen in my life. First of all, bright yellow uniform, already bad. Baby blue hat. I know it's the color of the Boston flag, has nothing to do with the Red Sox themselves. I think it looks insane. It's the exact same hat that the UCLA Bruins wear. And then the font on the hat doesn't match the font on the chest. I hate it. I think it's the worst uniform the Red Sox have ever had. And I do not understand why people like the yellow uniforms, to the point where they're getting a new City Connect, but keeping the yellow uniforms, which look like a collaboration between like Peeps and UCLA, the ugliest. I can't believe it. Every time I see people going nuts over them, I feel like I'm insane for not understanding. Maybe people just like different looks, but I can't stand the City Connect uniforms. But anyway, yeah, on the blue ones, I'm a little bit indifferent. I guess I'll miss them a little bit, but I'll be all right.
With the in regards to the blue ones, I find it interesting because, like, I never thought much of it. Like, I think I kind of fall where Sammy is, where it's like I more or less indifferent. Like, it's not the end of the world to me that they're getting rid of them, but it's going to be weird. And Joe, you alluded to this, but like, we're going to be like 10 years removed or 15 years removed from them wearing those blues. And we're going to like look back on those pictures of Christian Vasquez and Chris Sale's arms and the video of Sale striking out Machado and like the videos, like all the highlights of the games they played in that series and that whole season wearing those blue jerseys, like a lot of images of Mookie Betts in the blue jerseys. And it's going to be like, oh my God, like we haven't seen that in a decade. It's not even going to be like they've had different variations of the road grays and it's like it's very slight changes. This is like a massive change. It's gonna be a jersey that we haven't seen in a while, and it is interesting to me that a jersey that was worn for such a significant moment in the franchise's history can just be retired. But I think it just goes to show you, because Joe, that's a rule that they can't have more than five jerseys.
That's where I heard it somewhere. Something, I don't know if it's like
I believe it
rule or like Nike ruled on it or whatever, since, you know, Nike's trying to take over the entire sports universe.
Yeah. But like, if that's, it's interesting because assuming that's the rule, five jerseys, like they like the yellows so much and the yellows are like popular enough with fans and, you know, purchasing them in the team stores, like that was enough to get rid of the blues, even understanding what those have been through and what they've been worn for. It's interesting. I don't dislike the yellow ones. I like them as long as they're worn in moderation. I didn't like when they wore them for like two straight weeks. And like, I get they were winning in them, but like they would only wear them at home on Saturdays this year, which if you do the math is like twice a month, which means what, like, what is it? That mean like 10 to 12 times a season.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm right on that. Right on that same line. If it's an alternate, I'm glad, or I'm happy with it sticking around. But if you're making it one of your primary jerseys, because also you got to keep in mind, like, you can't wear those yellows on the road, or at least in my opinion, you can't wear them on the road because you have the whites and you have the reds, which they wear on Friday nights. So having essentially like three home jerseys, and then let's just assume like they're gonna go with the green ones.
Shit,
like,
maybe they are gonna wear it on the road.
Yeah, like
wait, are they gonna wear it on the road? Hold on, can we back up for a second, Joe? You make a good point. You got the whites, you got the reds. The City Connects are, I believe, only to be worn at home. So if you got three, are they about to make the fucking City the yellows a road jersey?
That would be.
Make the reds. I think they wear the red one on the road first because red and gray looks nice together.
That's yellow. True. But red could collide with other teams. Yellow's not going to collide with anyone.
I can't see those red ones being worn on the road, but
I can see it. Like, if a team wears white at home, you can wear red, right? It'd be not.
Yeah.
I mean, just anything outside the gray, and then in past tense now, talking the blue ones, those are the only ones you could realistically wear on the road.
Just wear the gray ones on the road all the time and don't ever wear the yellow ones other than like if a game gets rained out and you got to reschedule it and nobody's watching and nobody's there, then you can wear the yellow ones.
Sammy, you know what I'm going to get you for your birthday this year? I'm going to get you a signed picture of Emmanuel Valdez wearing a City Connect jersey.
You know what? I don't mind the yellow. Like, if you're a fan and you buy a yellow jersey and you're just wearing it with like jeans or something or like shorts, I don't think they look bad. It's just is a baseball uniform on the field with the blue hat. So ugly to me. And then, oh, dude, the sweatshirts all yellow with the yellow sleeves and the yellow. It's all yellow. So ugly. Oh, my God.
I don't hate it, man. I don't hate it.
I hate it.
Sammy, I don't hate
yellow,
it, man.
Yellow and you just don't mix. It.
The
you
and the color I yellow don't mix. Yeah.
Sammy, God. You didn't like those shades they gave out that one time, the City Connect shades. You didn't like those?
No. I straight up asked Zach Kelly. I'm like, how do I look? And he goes, it's a rough look. So. No, man.
Are you sure he was talking about the shades?
Yeah, it's,
oh, it's true.
Everything together. But I really, really do hope. I actually had, I tweeted a picture of like Julio Lugo, Jason Varitek, and like Mike Lowell wearing those green jerseys. I think that was to celebrate the Celtics in like 2008, something like that. But they look sick. Really, well, really
the,
good.
I remember we talked about this in the group chat. The vivid memory I have of those green jerseys that they had was the very first series of the 07 championship year with the Yankees. And they were down, I forget how much they were down by, but they had a huge eighth inning rally that I think was Alex Cora drove in like the go-ahead run. And then
yeah,
in that
he had a
same
big moment
series,
in them.
Yeah, in that yes. same series on the Sunday night baseball game, they hit the four home runs in a row. So oh, like yeah. I'm cool with the greens coming
oh,
back.
Oh, give me green.
Yeah, I just hate to see the, like the blue ones go in place for it.
I agree with that.
I told you guys my scoop. I won't give away sources, but a gentleman who owns a sports jersey shop hit me up on Instagram and was like, I saw your, yeah, he said he saw this tweet, this green socks tweet. I did a different one before this, but he saw me talking about them and he's like, hey, Nike has green Red Sox jerseys like back ordered. And I'm thinking like, you know, that might be because they do the St. Paddy's Day in spring training. They do that once a year in the spring training. It's probably just what that is. But then
not anymore.
The announcement came out. I figured maybe they bring it back or something. Because like we've seen green ones in the past recently in spring training for a day. Yeah. But now with this announcement, I'm thinking maybe, hey, maybe we'll get the green ones. So
everyone would love it. Everyone would.
Yeah, it's slam dunk. If they do the green ones, exact same jersey as the current home uniforms, with or without the nameplate, I don't care about that. Keep it exactly the same style with a different color palette. Just do that. Nothing crazy. Don't change the font.
So you want them you want them exactly how they looked back in 07.
Sammy, what if it had like the font? What if okay, so there's two different concepts because you could do the 07 one, you could go back to that. Or you could do like a green monster concept where like the font is kind of like the scoreboard and it's not like shamrock green, but like green Kelly, monster yeah. green.
Yeah, that's fine too. That's fine too. That would be cool. That would
but
be
either way, like both of those would sell like fucking crazy.
Also, two other options. Gordo, we were talking about this today. The Rainbow Swash, the huge art project in Dorchester on the
get out of here. Tanker.
The largest, what is it? The no. largest copyrighted.
Sammy, Gordo just doesn't know what that thing is.
Yeah, what Gordo is it? A fucking water tank or some shit? Like gas?
It's been around since the 70s, dude. It's so historic.
Oh, the 70s. The 70s. It's so long ago. You were born like 30 years before that.
Gordo, you sound like such a non-Bostonian right now.
Oh dude, God. I hadn't even heard of this thing until like 2 months ago.
Oh, man. Dude, wait, aren't you South Shore?
I don't know what shore I am. I grew up in Wayland.
So every time you drove into
Metro West,
you probably passed it every time you came into Boston. What's wrong with you? My God, there it is. Oh, that's our friend Sean Palmer's mock-up that he made. I don't know if I'd want that.
That is a rainbow Toronto Raptors logo right there.
I'd want it more like subtle, like on the shoulders or something. I'd like just a little ode to the swash. But that, or if you want to get really, really crazy, do a Red Sox Dung Kings kind of jersey.
Oh, that'd be fun. Hold on. You can't say that you don't like the yellows and then want them to do Dung Kings.
Why? That's dude, come on. Dunkin.
It's the same concept. It's like it's out there.
But that's so crazy that it's like funny. This is like they're trying to. Wow. Okay, maybe not. I'm just kidding. That's great. I would love that. See,
but they would look like clowns out there.
because the City Connect ones, they're like trying to be serious about it. This would be just a straight up joke. So I'd be down with that.
That's fair. If
it'd
you
feel like the Savannah Bananas came back with the party animals.
Oh, no, we already have that with the fucking yellow jersey.
Joe's right. We would have the Bananas jerseys with the old City Connects and the part pretty much the party animals with the Dunkin' ones. It's their colors.
Oh man, okay, as long as they don't mess this up. Wow, Marcus Stroman, 3.1 innings, 6 earned runs.
He's very good at pitching.
You're gonna get cooked.
Anyway, RIP to the Navies.
RIP to the Navies. I'll go second. Big shout out Christian Campbell being named the Eastern League MVP, and then him as well as Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer and Kyle Teal all being named Eastern League All-Stars. This is all for their performance in Double-A. Obviously, all of them now at the Triple-A level. Christian Campbell started the season in Single-A and got moved up to Triple-A and still won the Double-A MVP because he was that freaking good at that level this year. So future is bright in that regard. They've got dudes and I got to hold on. I got to pull this up. I got to pull up a list. He got named the Baseball America Player of the Year. And I got to read you guys the list of guys who have gotten this award from Baseball America. You ready for this list?
Fire away.
All right. Christian Campbell now, Jackson Holliday, Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., Gavin Lux, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Ronald Acuna Jr., Yoan Moncada, Blake Snell, Chris Bryant.
Wow.
So those guys
in Moncada and Lux, the future's bright.
Yeah. Like you've got a shot here. If Christian Campbell can be Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson. Nah. But he's going to be a damn good player, man. That was a guy who was not in the top 30 on Baseball America prior to the season. And now he was not just the Baseball America Red Sox Player of the Year, but the Baseball America Minor League Player of the Year. So
I think
big shouts there.
That will also help him connect with the Sox fans. It's not like the other big three where they were basically just put on the pedestal. Like Campbell actually had to work, as you said, and crushed it every single level. I think this might be crazy for me to say, but I think out of the four, he's going to connect with fans the most.
Ooh,
that's an interesting one, Joe. He did an interview with Baseball America on YouTube. I watched it live and they were like talking about how, yeah, it's not a big three anymore. It's a big four. And he made a point to be like, yeah, like it is a big four. It's a big four. So I like it. All right, Sammy, what do you got?
All right. Mine upset, Pittsburgh Pirates, loser franchise. We already knew that. Paul Skeens. We'll see where he ends up, but he's not going to be a Pirate for long because they're a bunch of losers. Here's a great example, something they did to enforce the fact that, again, a bunch of losers. So Rowdy Tellez, who has tortured the Red Sox for years, we all know who Rowdy Tellez is, he needed four more plate appearances to get a $200,000 bonus. Now, you know, in baseball terms, $200,000, not that much, but, you know, he's not the owner of the team. $200,000 is a good chunk of change for anybody. So he needed four more plate appearances to get to that milestone. It's in his contract. Six games left, and the Pirates DFA'd him. They DFA'd him rather than letting him hit this milestone in his contract so they wouldn't have to pay him $200,000. And, of course, today, Ben Cherington, the Pirates GM, former Red Sox GM, came out and said, no, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. We just DFA'd this guy for no reason at the very end of the season right before he hit this milestone in his contract that would have earned him a good chunk of money. So obvious loser shit from the Pirates. Bob Nutting, one of the worst owners in the history of all sports. He's up there with John Fisher, one of the worst to ever do it. A total loser, and he will be remembered as a loser because of stuff like this. So sorry, Pirates fans. Nothing against Pirates fans if you're listening. I think you guys are great, but your owner is a loser.
Does MLB have the most scumbag owners out of any league? I was talking with Cooper Borman about this. There's multiple times, you know, like in all the other leagues, like there's maybe like a handful, but I feel like baseball is like way more. Like it's every other league and then double that what MLB has.
Yeah, Joe, I feel like the NFL, they all try to win every year in the NFL. And then in the NBA, it's like you get five that try to tank, but it's all strategic. It's not because they don't want to spend. Like they all end up spending when they're ready. With MLB, like Sammy, you bring up Nutting and the Pirates, but like this shit's I'm glad that he's getting dragged because he's in particular one of the worst ones. But like this is from the MLB executive burner account, but he brought up a good point. The Diamondbacks moved Jordan Montgomery to the bullpen, quote unquote, or took him out of the rotation to prevent his 2025 vesting player option from escalating from $22.5 million to $25 million. And then meanwhile, you have the Red Sox who are cutting people from the baseball operations team and then telling others that they can stay if they take pay cuts. It's like, it's out of control what some of these owners are doing nowadays. This Rowdy Tellez one is just like a very obvious example that they were fucking stupid as hell for letting it get to that point where he was one game away. Like, at least do it like 3 or 4 games out to not make yourself look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Hey, you talk about the Red Sox big three becoming a big four. I think there used to be a big four of terrible owners that became a big three. It was John Fisher, Oakland A's, Dick Monfort, Rockies, and then Bob Nutsack of the Pirates. And it used to be, what's it, the Angelos family, the Orioles?
In Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, Baltimore. So it was a big four, like the Red Sox have with their prospects. But now it's just those three.
Don't let Artie Moreno off the hook, Sammy. Don't let him off.
Yeah, I know Artie Moreno. Hey, but he spends
sometimes.
Yeah, he at least spends. He sucks at his job, but at least he's not tanking his team on purpose. So
that's
he stinks,
true.
But yeah. And obviously John Henry sucks now, but he's not in that realm yet. No. He's on his way. He's trying to get there, but
he might be the most successful out of all of them.
Because, I don't think he could get there. Sammy, he would have to slash like $100 million off our annual payroll to get to that level.
He's trending that way, but he's not close yet. It's crazy though. There's still people like Red Sox fans who refuse to say bad stuff about him. Like I said, must be nice because the Phillies owner had some comment about like not caring how much they spend. He just wants his trophy back, which I thought was awesome. Like, look, he cares.
Awesome.
And
said, look,
must be nice. And I had a Red Sox fan quote tweet me and be like, Boston media is so absurd, blah, blah, blah. Like, look how much success they've had. I'm like, bro, were you in a coma for the last 4 years? Like, have you missed everything that happened? So, you know, John Henry, not there yet. Don't freak out, Red Sox fans, please. He's just trending that way. Hopefully he never gets close. He's not close now. Hopefully he never gets close, but.
Hopefully not.
Stop it. Well, turn around, John. Turn around. You're walking the wrong way. That's how it feels.
That'll do it for episode 137. The next episode, the next time you hear from us, season's going to be over. We are going to be, I guess, we'll definitely, we have our original season predictions ready to go and we'll recap those. That'll be a fun episode. We'll get to that stuff. We'll definitely be recapping the season, but we'll be excited to move on to off season talk. And obviously we'll have the Cora Sam Kennedy press conference where Sam Kennedy is going to say a whole lot of words but not actually say anything, which is always a whole lot of fun. And they'll drop like a quote or two, which we'll hold on to for the entire offseason to hold them accountable, and we'll see where that goes. But yeah, next time you hear from us, it's not going to be no series preview anymore, like just talking shop, man, talking socks. We'll be on to the offseason. But before you tune out of this one, go about your day. Remember, just hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars. We're on YouTube. You can hit the thumbs up on the videos. We're on WEI's channel. We got a Playtesty playlist with all of our episodes there. On the socials, at Playtesty on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy and for Joe, it's Gordo here. One more series. That's it. It's not a meaningful series. Just one to go. And that'll be curtains officially on the 2024 Red Sox season. Thank you guys for tuning into this one and for all of the other ones in the past. And man, we'll be back in your ears in a few days after the season ends. Thanks for tuning in, though. For episode 137, it's Playtesty. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.